In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Just like other institutions, the seminary in recent years has gotten involved in the ecological movement. That's good. Although I do think that the board and administration have taken it a little bit too far. Aluminum cans, newspapers, that's all right. But they have taken it to the extreme that they are recycling professors. President Johnson recycled. Dr. Warnick recycled. Professor Wallenberg recycled. And in some plastic container sitting on a street in Illinois, they found me and pulled me out and put me on the Bennett chair. When you've been recycled, you compare the first time to the second time, and some things have not changed. 17 years ago, when I left the faculty, it was true, and it is still true today, that this is an extremely difficult situation to preach in. And I've had a lot of preaching experiences, from frame churches in the Midwest to the National Cathedral, from Old Line Missouri Synod congregations to our partner churches around the world. And that said, this is a strange place to preach in. And not only for the reason that you might surmise, the theological acumen of the faculty and the students' budding knowledge of things esoteric. A friend of mine told me that Dr. Martin Charlemagne had the habit of closing his eyes to meditate as he was hearing a sermon. And he would only open his eyes if he heard something that was theologically suspect. I don't know if that's true or not, that he closed his eyes, because they were always open when I preached during my first time here. But there is more to the difficulty of delivering a sermon in this place than simply the knowledge of the professors and your budding theological acumen. What I think is most difficult here is that this is a most artificial situation. When you go to your field-ed congregation or on vicarage or take your call, you're not going to be worshiping in a sanctuary like this. The ages are much older. The genders favor the female side more than the male side. In many LCMS congregations, there's a much better racial mix than we have here. Here you have theological knowledge that isn't going to match up with anything in any congregation that you will ever serve. This is an artificial situation. It's a difficult one to preach in, and I think it's also a difficult one to sit in and to be edified. That's one thing that has not changed over the years. And when I think back to my first stint as a professor, or for that matter, go all the way back to the time when I was a student on this campus, something else hasn't changed. And that is that the sermons that were memorable in chapel were not sermons that displayed the preacher's erudition, although the preachers had that. The memorable sermons, as I look back over my years on this campus, were the ones that were simply about Jesus. Shouldn't it be that way? He is the wisdom of God. The good news of Jesus cuts through it all, even through artificial situations, straight to the heart. And that includes straight to the heart of professors and students. That hasn't changed. And it never will change. Now, going back 17 years, there are things that have changed. Many things that have changed. And it appears to me that all that I have seen that is different in this go-around is for the better. But one thing stands out for me, and that is that there has been a profound change right here. I have changed more than anything at the seminary has. While I have an ambitious agenda for my tenure this go-around, my prime purpose is a quest for God. What I mean is that I am more conscious of my mortality than ever before, more conscious that I stand now and soon will stand under the judgment of God. I am more conscious of my sins and my ignorance than ever before. And so I look at my time here at the seminary as a personal quest, more than anything else, a personal quest to know more about God and to be personally acceptable to Him. That is why my overriding purpose is to use this place on my quest for God, to use you, to use all the opportunities that this institution offers so that I might know more about God, who is in so many ways so mysterious. I don't mean to imply that I am a doubter. Sometimes, yes, but not generally. I sang, "May Jesus Christ be praised," with as much feeling as you did. I believe that Jesus Christ is the face of God to me. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts, in mine, to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I believe that. And as Luther says in his preface to the Romans, I am staking my life on that. And as I get older, that is a more awesome, awesome thing to realize. Now, we heard before about the House of Wisdom. And after the reading is concluded, you can read further in Proverbs and hear a description of the House of Folly. What this seeker is saying to you this morning is, please do not assume that your presence on this campus and the activities that you are involved in is a guarantee that you are in the House of Wisdom. Don't be deceived by this environment or by your studies into things recondite that there is no way in the world you could be found in the House of Folly. It's just not true. Another recycled professor with whom I served on the first go-around, Dr. Horace Hummel, once said in the old Wienicken Chapel, "You can take a fool and ordain him, and you will have an ordained fool." The fact of the matter is that by nature, you and I are nowhere near the House of Wisdom. By nature, you and I are behind the door, the locked, barricaded, sealed door in the House of Folly. That's where we are. Unless some strong one would break in and rescue us, claim us for his own. Which leads me to my concluding story, which you may have heard, but if you've heard it before, it is salutary for you to hear it again. Several years ago, on a Saturday morning, I was sitting in my backyard pondering the sermon that I was supposed to preach the next day. The next day, I was scheduled to go to a federal prison up in Illinois and to preach, not to do time. And I know what the gospel is, but I just didn't, it wasn't coming together in a memorable way. You know what I mean? And so I'm sitting in the backyard, and all of a sudden, a young man in his 30s rides up the alley on a bicycle. He's got a plastic bag on his shoulder, and he stops by the apartment building on the other side of the alley, gets off the bike, lays down his bag, and he goes to the dumpster. Whoa, what's going on here, I asked myself. And he opened one side of the dumpster, and he looked in. And he didn't see anything that interested him. He went to the other lid on the dumpster and looked in, and there was something in there that caught his eye. And the next thing I knew, that this guy almost hopped up and into the dumpster. Now, I've never been in a dumpster. I think it must be an athletic feat that you can get up and go into a dumpster the way he did with no apparent effort. He did it, and he disappeared. And a few seconds later, out comes a soda pop can. That probably wasn't soda pop, knowing that apartment behind the alley. And another one, and another one, and maybe a dozen of these things came out. And then emerges out of the dumpster the diver. And again, he does that athletic feat. He hops out, and he steps aside from the dumpster, and he wipes off all the grime and the grease that he had picked up in there. And then he stooped over and picked up those cans one by one, and he put them in his plastic bag. And when he had assembled all the cans, he slung it over his back, put up the kickstand, and rode off up the alley. And I knew then that I had my sermon for prison. Jesus Christ has come into the dumpster. Whether it be people in a federal prison or theological professors and students who by nature are imprisoned in the house of folly, he has come to claim us as his own. And when all is said and done, that's the only thing that my presence and your presence here is about. Another professor, now retired, Professor Rosso, said something memorable. We know, he said, precious little about God, but the little that we know is so precious. And that, I think, is a glimpse, this morning's glimpse, of that awesome phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.